podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.
It's the aliens, Matt. The fucking aliens, man.
Aliens everywhere, dude.
Flying all over the country and
making ripples
getting
in the air.
Shot down, and the government's like, hey, look over here. It was nothing. It was just.
It was actually a weather balloon. Yeah, or there was nothing to see here.
There's a fire in Ohio, and let's distract you. And you
know. It was propane.
Man,
propane and propane accessories.
It is weird, man. Like, I don't know what to make of it, to be honest. I'm not really a conspiracy guy, but it's just like kind of odd and all that what happened last week. Wait, what? They shot down what? I'm just like, and then the government has to come out like, it's not aliens. Like, they actually had to say it, but like, that makes people think maybe it was aliens. I don't know. Do you believe in aliens, man?
It's like, you know,
I mean, I feel like there's got to be something else out there.
Yeah, I think it's an arrogant stance to say that we're the most intelligent beings in the universe.
Shit, we're the most
right?
intelligent.
And that,
God help the universe.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like peanut butter is bad for you.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's great. I don't know. You know, insert random, you know, the earth is flat.
Right. That alone tells you why I hope we're not the most intelligent.
Exactly. And then those same people will say, around the world. Or something like that, and be like, a what? Around?
I mean, I kind of like hope there's something else out there, but at the same time, I don't know if I want to see it in my lifetime because it feels like it'd be awfully frightening as well.
Like Romulans.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Romulan or, you know, something like that. One of those women that, you know, Captain Kirk, you know, danced around with in the sheets. That'd be kind of cool. Maybe a Twi'lek. Twi'leks are cool.
Oh, yeah. I wonder what they can
totally hang with the Twi'leks.
They can do with those tentacle things they have.
That's right. That would be tentacles.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tentacle.
Our friend Long is very very knowledgeable about tentacles.
Yes, he likes tentacle stuff.
Yeah, he's cool. Tentacool.
Yeah, man. But otherwise, it's just kind of a weird week of events happening in the. In the United States and Canada, it's like,
and that every other day a train derails carrying toxic chemicals,
and then like
Michigan, Ohio, and then a train derailed, but here in Texas, but I don't think it was carrying hazardous chemicals.
Yeah, it's weird, man, weird shit.
So it almost made me want to watch the movie White Noise. So, and I didn't know that this was a thing, but someone mentioned it. I guess Adam Driver starred in a movie where he's like a professor. And the whole thing is about a town who experiences pollution due to a train derailment and toxic clouds released into the sky and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, maybe I should watch it. But I could, you know, not high on the pecking order.
Yeah. If anyone in Ohio knows what's going on, please contact us.
Yeah. Please let us know.
But yeah, man, this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. And, bringing to you the latest breaking alien news as we do week to week.
That's right.
But, and what a week it's been besides the crazy news, man. I feel like this was a really long week at work. I don't know why. I mean, it feels like forever that the Super Bowl happened, you know, okay game, mm-hmm. you know, not, I don't think it's a classic name, but decent game. And, some good movie trailers that came out of it and a really bizarre, weird, bad lip syncing halftime performance that I was like cringing at the entire time. Like, what is going on here? And Rihanna kept grabbing down at her pussy. And I'm just like, what is she doing? She has a baby in her and you're grabbing your vagina. This is weird. Stop doing that.
Only Michael Jackson can grab his crotch, right? And he's gone. So no one else can do it.
Yeah. Maybe Justin Timberlake, you know, cause he grabs boobs.
Maybe JT. Yeah. But, yeah. He grabs boobs, but he grabs appendages.
That's right. But it was weird. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but like, I don't even know why, like, I'm not really familiar with Rihanna. Like, apparently she's super fucking popular, like Snoop Dogg, Eminem levels popular. Not really. I barely have ever heard of her other than she did a song with Eminem and she's done a few other things. But why am I getting that? Okay. And we're reconnected. That was a weird notification there.
That was weird.
But we're on the air. If there was a blip there in the air, then we apologize for the blip.
A blip right there in the multiverse.
See, man? Fucking aliens.
Multiverse. Yep. Hey, Hawaii. There was a news report about how that you could see green lasers or something by Hawaii. And apparently that was claimed to be Chinese satellites. But look, I know China has some good tech, but I don't think any satellites make green lasers visible. That sounds like alien shit.
Maybe Elon Musk has satellites. He might have.
Maybe lasers. Elon.
He would have sharks with laser beams, it feels like, though.
Elon's like our Tony Stark, I feel like, you know, but he's not there yet.
No, but he feels like he would have sharks with laser beams, not just satellites.
Yeah, sharks with lasers on their heads. Yeah.
That's what it feels like. I mean, he names
I don't know if he'd have like a suit, but maybe a car that transforms.
Yeah, I mean, he names his child SpaceX or whatever it was. I mean,
so. Yeah, dude. SpaceX.
Oh, I don't know. They did name her something weird.
Yeah.
Or him or whatever. Yeah.
Maybe a solar powered battle
suit. Hey, but I'm not going to knock him, you know, because he's actually a really good dad. He's always taking pictures with the kid. He always has a kid with him. So he might be a filthy rich billionaire, but hey, he seems like he's a good father from things I've seen.
He does. Yeah.
So, and maybe passing down his knowledge to a future generation.
And I like how, you know, like, yeah, because I like the combustion engine. And you know what? He said, we need the combustion engine. And he's not like, you know, one of those guys that's like, oh, I'm going to do away with you. You know, you're like they called Stallone in this movie, the Neanderthal. That engine's the Neanderthal of engine. I'm the future. He's like, no, we need each other, baby. And that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's like a little hippie attitude there. You know, I dig it. Yeah.
Little hippie attitude.
Yeah.
Well, hippies beyond. You know what, man? Let's start with the news this week, man, because we got some trailers during the Super Bowl.
Heck yeah, we did.
We got a new brief 30-second spot for Indiana Jones with some new footage in it, and the movie just continues to look exciting and fun, and I can't wait to see what James Mangold puts together in his version or his directorial version of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And it's funny, man. I was reading online. People were like, well, what's the Dial of Destiny? Man, do we need a trailer that tells a story? Let's be surprised. You know, I hope the second trailer doesn't give too much away. Let's go into this. Let's have fun with it, you know, and enjoy.
Yeah, show the highlights, show the adventure. You know, keep it obscure.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all you need to know is Indy is fighting Nazis again.
That's right.
Come on. What more do you want?
That's it.
You know,
as long as he punches some people and has a good adventure, it should be
fine. He's got the whip outs, you know, he's whipping people again.
That's right.
Yeah. All I need is him to say it's not the years, it's the mileage again.
Even though he said there's not too many, they left a lot of age jokes out of the movie and said they wanted to approach it with a different point of how Indy sees things differently in this world in 1969, you know.
I have to agree. It can kind of wear on you, just the old man jokes.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, Arnold did The Last Stand that one time. There's a lot of I'm old kind of jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, first couple ones, okay, yeah. But then too much just kind of ruins
it. Yeah, and I think they did enough of those in Kingdom of Crystal Skull that this time let's move forward, you know, and see where he's at with his new adventure.
I agree.
We also got a trailer for Transformers Rise of the Beast, and it revealed, you know, I don't remember seeing much Optimus Prime in the initial trailer, but this one it looks like we get to see regular Optimus versus Optimal Prime. Is it Optimus Primal? Sorry,
Optimus Primal, yeah.
And that, man, I'm telling you, that's just badass seeing the Beast Wars in live action from those characters. And hell yeah, man. I'm hoping it's good, man, because Bumblebee was good, but the last couple of Transformers movies were kind of, you know.
Beast Wars was my first animated Transformers cartoon that I saw, and I loved watching it. I can't wait to see this movie, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. And it comes out fairly soon, like early June, I believe. Like June 4th or 5th, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
It's pretty early. We got what's supposed to be the final trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. You know, I mean, at this point, it's like, what's more to say of it? You know, let's see where they go with it.
It looks fun.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the first two Guardians have been fun, exciting movies. And hopefully it's the Marvel entries as of late have been a bit lackluster, but hopefully it gets back to form with James Gunn and his Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And we'll see what
happens. I agree.
Looks like poor Rocket, though, might be possibly meeting a grisly end in it, though, from the looks of it. So
he looks like at it, least man. They sure are showing him all cute and stuff.
Unless it's one of those rope-a-dope trailers where they're just trying to show us this way. Then look over here. We're going to kill Star-Lord instead. Could happen.
Maybe so.
Yeah. It could.
He's going to go on to voice more Nintendo characters in the future. He's got to clear his schedule.
Yeah. The biggest trailer, though, we got, though, was, of course, our first look finally at The Flash. And, wow. You know, there's a lot of anticipation behind this trailer, behind the movie. I mean, it's been in development as early as, hell, like 2012 was when Ezra Miller was cast. And they started the first draft a couple years after Man of Steel came out. I mean, this movie's been in development for a long time. It looks like, you know, James Gunn has been playing up, saying it's one of the best movies he's seen. You know, the trailer delivers. Hook, line, sinker, bam, let's roll. I don't even need to see another fucking trailer for the movie, honestly. That was enough. You know, it's been no secret that Michael Keaton is back as Batman in this. We've known this for a couple of years now. But when you finally see it in live action, even if it's not, and I'll be honest, Batman 89 is not, it is the Batman movie that started me on my path as a Batman fan. But over the years, it's not my favorite Batman movie. I don't even have a favorite Batman. I like them all for different reasons, except maybe Clooney. You know,
he's a good Bruce Wayne, though.
Right. But Keaton has that nostalgic thing. And when you see him appear on the screen and, of course, in the trailer, deliver those words, I am Batman. I am Batman. I mean, you couldn't help but get a little spine tingly. I mean, I shook a little bit. I danced a little bit. I mean, that was awesome. I was like, holy shit, he said it.
I mean, as we've seen, that's the blueprint for success. Like in Spider-Man No Way Home, you have a superpowered character in this movie, The Flash, and there it's Spider-Man. You've got the OG. I guess so. You've got the OG Peter Parker, the OG Batman, two different universes. You've got a very rich mentor type Batman, Iron Man. So it's got all the elements of Spider-Man No Way Home. I think it's going to be the same kind of thing. It's going to be a hit.
What's crazy is, you know, that people, they got accused that, oh, they're ripping off Marvel. Not really, man. No. They shot this film like 3-4 years ago. The film's been in development for a long time. You know, and then of course, Ezra Miller with his issues and stuff as Warner Brothers kept, and COVID. I won't even say it's Miller's issues. It was more COVID that kept pushing the film back.
COVID pushed a lot of films back.
When was the right time to release it? Then when Warner Brothers saw that they had a good product, they put more money into the film to fix the special effects and make it look better. They realized they had a good product. So I think it looks exciting. Ben Affleck's back. It's his version of Batman. I love the blue and gray suit he's sporting in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, I think Supergirl looks badass. It does look like the rumors are true that Flash's mistake creates an alternate universe where Supergirl exists to fight Zod instead of Superman. It looks like those rumors are true. Mm-hmm. And I'm just guessing from watching the trailer. But she looks awesome on screen. Looks like she's definitely going to have a presence in the movie as Kara. And
I wonder what other – I hope they enter more like comical elements, like maybe like some movies accidentally shifted main characters.
Right.
You know, like, if 50 Cent is the Terminator or something like that, you know.
Oh, Lord. but the trailer, I watched it a few times. It was just super exciting, super awesome. It gets you in the feels, the nostalgic feels. It also just looks like a nice, refreshing, exciting comic book film. And despite Ezra's issues off of film, I mean, as long as he put in a good performance, it looks good. I'm super excited to see this movie. I'll be there in a flash to the theater.
That's right. We will forget about his kidnapping charges in a flash.
That's right. I mean, you know, people make mistakes. You know?
Yeah, people, you know, they just kidnap people. Just, you know, as long as they put out a good DC movie.
But he was never pressed. Hey. He never had charges pressed on that, did he? I don't think so.
Kidnapping.
I thought they dropped the charges though.
I don't know what happened with it. I just know it was that and then the fighting outside the bar.
Yeah. Well, that happened overseas. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's like that stuff I don't care about. You know, you're a bad boy. You know, you throw a couple bottles at a bar. You know, who didn't back in the day? Joe Namath.
Well, I never
threw
bottles at a bar, but you know.
Well, hey, we can't all be cool, you know. Some of us aren't cool enough to throw bottles at a bar.
I might have threw up in a few bars, but I never, you know.
Yeah, whizzed on a few bar walls or something, you know, outside.
Yeah, man.
Maybe Frank.
I don't want to know what Frank does in bars and bathroom stalls. That's just weird.
But, you know, I think it looks like he's staying out of trouble as of late. And that's good because this movie's got to come out. We want to see Keaton. We want to see more of him. And who knows? Maybe we'll get George Clooney variant in there. Who knows? Anything's possible, baby. Maybe just like a flash something in the, you know, in the tunnel while he's going through. George Clooney's face is in there, and he's got the bat debit card. He's like, never leave the cave without it. And it just goes away.
There's people hoping Bale appears in it, but I really doubt Bale's going to appear in it.
No, I doubt it.
He's already said, unless Nolan gave his blessing, he'll never do it, you know. So.
Yeah.
And I think two Batmans is enough.
Oh, yeah. You know, you've got Affleck, you've got Batfleck, and you've got Keaton.
Now, there has been rumors that that they know who's they're casting as the DC Studios Batman. And there's been that rumor that they're going to introduce him as a cameo at the end of the film. And so that's been, you know, so we'll see.
Wow.
And so we'll see what happens. That was all the big trailers that I remember. Because, no, I'm not talking about Fast X trailer, Matt. We don't talk about that on this show.
Oh, okay. You just talked about it.
And, but, other than that, we'll switch gears back to Marvel a little bit. They announced today that the Captain Marvel sequel is now shifting to November instead of July. They released the first poster today, which tells me first trailer's probably coming soon. Anytime they release a poster, trailers are not far from mine.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people were excited about this Haunted Mansion remake reboot. I guess the original starred Eddie Murphy back in the day. And I guess it's flipping with the Marvels. It's going to come out in July now. So, I guess that's I'm not a huge Disney guy. I can appreciate what Disney does. I've seen a lot of movies over the years, but, I don't follow it so hardcore, but apparently the Haunted Mansion is like this hardcore fan base type thing. So
I never got to watch it. I think I started watching it at one point and then for some reason I just never finished it. So
yeah,
it's going to be something I watch, I guess, coming up.
And,
but I know a friend of the show, Carrie, I know he's a big Haunted Mansion.
He's a hardcore Disney guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Universal DreamWorks, looks like they're going to start following this in the footsteps of Disney, and they're going to start doing at least one live action version of one of their popular films. And a live action How to Train Your Dragon is in the makings. How to Train Your Dragon is one of the better of the DreamWorks films.
It's
going to have a hell of a budget to do it in live action, though, all those dragons and stuff. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, sure, you know, it has its fans.
Yeah.
Been, what, 3 or 4 movies, the TV series. So, you know, it's definitely got a fan base.
Gerard Butler, you know.
Yeah. And what's his name?
Talking in a Scottish accent. That skinny dude from The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah.
And This Is the End, you know?
Yeah. I can't remember his name.
He plays Hiccup. Like
the guy that shows up in Seth Rogen movies. Yeah.
Yeah. He shows up in Seth Rogen movies and random other movies.
So we'll see. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes wrap production for release next year. Excited about that. Big fan of that series. And then lastly, man. Yeah, are you a fan of the Riddick movies?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think they're okay. But it feels like Vin Diesel has been chasing this franchise for 20 years now, you know. And I guess now they're in talks to make a Riddick 4. And it's just like it feels like they never finished the Chronicles of Riddick. They left it open at the end. They went back and made another Riddick, which was more of a low budget, like Pitch Black. And it was okay. So, you know, I guess there's a fan base for it. I mean, I think I have Riddick on my digital account. I do like that one.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to make since I guess he's trying to bow out of any more Fast movies, he's like, well, I'll go make my other 20-year-old franchise and let's make a Riddick movie before I get too old to kick people's ass.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Vin Diesel's pushing almost 60.
What?
I think so.
He's pushing almost 60?
Yeah, he's getting up there in age.
No way. You're kidding me, man. I'm going to look that shit up.
67, dude.
Oh, my God.
He's born in 1967. So, yeah, he's pushing.
What the? No, he's 55, dude.
That's pushing 60. I said he was born in 1967.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
55.
He's pushing 60. He'll be 56 this summer.
18 years older than me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes he's having to blow your mind. Did you know, I didn't realize Jared Leto was 51.
Really?
I felt like he was a teenager when 30 Seconds of Mars came out. Yeah. Some of these guys are older.
Vin Diesel was 31, I guess, whenever Fast and Furious came out.
Yeah.
That's whenever he really started his career.
So in his 50s, he's still chasing his Riddick sci-fi franchise.
You're right, man. 20-year-old franchises. Wow.
But, that's all the news. But, man, that Flash trailer, something else, man. It's just fucking awesome. Before we get into today's feature film and things, I did watch – let's talk about I know we both watched the latest episode of The Last of Us, our weekly recap. And, playing the game, I kind of knew some things that were going to occur with Henry and Sam. But seeing it actually unfold on screen was quite harrowing. I was like, wow, actually seeing that on screen was heartbreaking. Michael's been watching with me. He needed a hug when it was over. I mean, because that was intense. Joel and Ellie – at the end of the last episode, they're held at gunpoint by a couple of young boys. And it turns out they don't have any weapons on the gun. As we're introduced to Henry and Sam, a couple of people that have been trying to make their way in this world, they're brothers, and Sam is deaf, and they're trying to escape. He's what they call a collaborator, where he basically will sell secrets and do things for other different factions that exist in this world. And one of the things he did was he turned over the brother of the leader of the hunters, Kathleen. So Kathleen's pretty pissed. She wants to kill Henry for her brother's death. So she's trying to hunt him down the city as Joel and Ellie and Henry and Sam now try to decide to get out. And basically that's what the whole episode is about. We get some flashbacks in the story of how Henry and Sam survived the few days before they met Joel and Ellie. And it's about them getting out of the city. And then it leads up to, they're just about out of the city when a sniper holds them down for a few minutes before Joel is able to get through and take the sniper out, but not before.
A very bad shot of a sniper.
Terrible shot.
And you go up there, he's got fucking cataracts because he's old as shit. He can't see.
Yeah, and not before Kathleen and her hunters show up. And just when it looks like she's going to get Henry, man, one of the greatest action sequence so far in the show unfolds is this burning house just – well, first off, Joel doesn't. Was it Joel or Ellie that shoots the guy in the car and makes the car flip into the house? And
Joel,
and so the house burns down and falls in the ground because early in the show, Henry tells Joel why there are no infected around. He says, "Well, they all been run underground, so they're all in the tunnels." And man, these infected come out of those tunnels full force and basically tear Kathleen's army alive, and goes after him and one of them, then this giant, we got our first look at a giant bloater from the game. It's this huge thing comes out and rips her second in command's head off. And it looks like she's going to go after Kathleen. But instead, Kathleen might get the worst of it as a kid clicker decides to take her out. It's pretty.
And so fitting because she talks about how kids die.
Yeah.
And it's no big deal. Well, guess what? You got taken out by one of those zombie kids.
Oh, yeah.
Eat shit.
And Joel is kind of stuck up in the house with a sniper rifle, watching this unfold, trying to shoot what he can and protect Ellie. And Ellie and Henry and Sam do manage to make it out. But and throughout this episode, we witness Ellie befriending Sam and trying to help him and learn how to communicate with him through his handicap. And some really nice, quiet moments in the show. And I think that's what The Last of Us has done so well through the first six episodes. It's like they show us these peaceful moments in this violent, violent world. And but even that being said, it doesn't hold us back from more violence. And Sam reveals to Ellie that he was scratched during the fight. And it's very sad. Mm-hmm. And she tells him she'll be right there. But when she wakes up the next day, Sam has turned in a horrifying sequence of events, Sam attacks Ellie.
She tried to use her blood as medicine, and it didn't work.
I think it was more just her. I think she knew it wasn't going to work. She was trying to make Sam feel better, you know, and a horrifying turn of events as Sam attacks Ellie. Henry in a blast of the moment, shoots his brother, and then he turns the gun on himself, and it's just, that's what happens in the game. It's just as horrifying in the game, but seeing it on TV was, man, it was emotional as hell. I mean, really hard episode to watch, especially the last 5 minutes. And but that's what great television does, man. It brings your emotions up and down and plays with them, and it makes you feel things. And The Last of Us is doing that full on. From a guy who hasn't played the game, I mean, what did you think?
Yeah, I think it's great action. It's great story. I like how, and I think, you know, some of the greatest, action movies. I know it's not an action movie, but right. Some of the great action movies of our time are not, 100%, nonstop action. There are some good ones like that, but the best ones, like Terminator 2, there's a lot of emotion. Why do you cry? We cry because it hurts. At the end, he understands why he cries, what it is to be human, that emotion in it. Die Hard, trying to consolidate, trying to tie things up with his wife, and, he thinks he's about to die. He's like, man, if I don't make it, Carl, tell her I'm sorry. Tell her I'm, she's heard me say I love you a million times. She's never heard me say I'm sorry. Tell her I'm sorry. And it's like, the emotion, all that tension, and then you mix in that emotion. It's just a recipe for a great movie or a great episode in this instance. And I think they're doing it really, really well. I think they're finding that great mix of storytelling, moving the chains on the story, mixing in that action, throwing in those emotional concepts that are, within the game, that you played and a lot of other people have played, and a lot of people are playing now. Late to the game, but they got there. I think it's awesome. I love it. I like the bloater. I like that he kind of reminded me of Resident Evil's The Tyrant, because he's just getting bullets shot at him, and it don't matter. He keeps moving forward like they're freaking Nerf darts that he just got hit with.
And the coolest fucking thing is they use practical effects, man. It's a guy in a suit. It's a suit. That's badass.
I saw the suit. It looked really, really cool. Yeah. And I saw the guy standing, the guy who did the makeup standing next to him.
Well, yeah, and in fact, that scene is about 50-50. They actually use makeup and body suits on about 50% of the extras, and then they did some CGI. Because there's a making of thing where you see some of them in mocap suits and some of them don't. So they did do a lot of makeup for that scene. Yeah.
Man. Yeah. No, it's really cool. And a question I had, I know you play the game a lot. Joel really loves bolt action World War II style rifles. Mm-hmm. Is that like what you pick up the most of in the game? Or is it kind of like anything?
It's kind of anything. I think it's just the way it just kind of plays out. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, these must be his main weapons of choice in the game. I was like, maybe it ties to his like special ops, his Desert Storm, training. I was like, man, he really loves these World War II bolt action rifles. I love them. I love seeing historical pieces and films. I was curious.
Yeah.
But man, he's a friggin' surgeon with that rifle. Just like his brother. His brother was a pretty good shot in the first episode.
Yeah. No, it's it's good television. Sucks we only have like 4 episodes left.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Just getting heavy into it. But at least we know a season 2 is coming.
It reminded me of Walking Dead season 2, the ranch where the gate just collapsed and they're just overrun. I think this is even better.
Those weren't high speeds on me, so.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There's moments in the game when those, like the clickers, generally move a little slower in the game. But there's moments in the game where you've run into what they call the dashers or the runners, and when they're coming at you, man, you have to react quick in the game. It's like,
nah, dude,
it's some scary shit. So
yeah, man. I hope we don't get those. I hope that's not our apocalypse.
No, that would suck. I'm just gonna I'll be honest. I'll probably just be dead.
They'd be dead. Yeah.
I can't run. But that's really the main thing I watched this week, man. I did show the kids. We watched we watched Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Good old comedy. The kids at first, like, oh, it's black and white. Then they watched and they liked it. I was like, I told you I would like this. It's funny. I don't know how we came upon that kick. We were talking about it, and then I found a copy on eBay for like $5. And yeah, I will watch this. And I watched that, and then I watched after watching that very emotional episode of The Last of Us, I had to watch something calm. So I watched Superbad. I hadn't seen that in years. And I know the whole running joke on the show over the years that I don't like comedy. Bullshit. Superbad's funny as hell. That movie still makes me laugh. I did watch a documentary, man. I actually watched this last week, and I forgot to mention, but I watched Wolfman's Got Nards, which is the documentary about the cult success of the Monster Squad and how the movie how the movie disappeared for 20 years until a Alamo Drafthouse screening that sold out suddenly brought the movie back to life, and the fans petitioning for a DVD release, and it finally got put on streaming things, and now it's found a new life, which was just, of course, we covered it on the show a few years ago, and you and Long weren't as excited about watching it as I was, but it's definitely a nostalgic movie that you kind of have to grow up with. I mean, I absolutely love the Monster Squad, and you can watch the documentary for free on Tubi or Pluto, and it's a neat watch to just see where the movie was ultimately a huge failure to going to find success, and through home video and just fans campaigning.
It looked like a fun movie. It wasn't as big. I didn't watch it whenever I was a kid. That's probably, why maybe, I'm not as high on it, but I was entertained when I watched it. Yeah. I think it might be my favorite Universal monster film so far.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a ton of Universal films,
Universal monster film. They asked permission to use the monsters, and Universal was like, they said, yeah, sure. I think the only thing they couldn't do is they couldn't call the creature in Black Lagoon that same name. That's why they call it Gillman, because it had to do with the whites. But all the other characters, they were allowed to, the Universal, say, yeah, use them. So, yeah.
So that's nice. Cool. I know that.
Yeah. So, but, that's really the only things I checked out, man. But looking forward to this week's Last of Us.
Well, I had the day off today. I got surprised. Had the day off today. Wasn't expecting a 3-day weekend. And, I was going to put it off watching it, but I went ahead and saw Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. And, I'll stay spoiler free, of course, because it's the, first day it came out. I surprisingly liked the film a little bit more than I thought I would have. But usually that's what happens when I see like a lot of negative reviews. I go in, I'm like, oh, this movie's going to stink it up. And I'm like, okay, I was entertained. I felt like it's definitely got that entertainment factor. You're engaged, it keeps you engaged throughout the movie. I think it's probably my favorite Ant-Man film out of them all. Not hard to do. And it's really mainly because this movie solidifies Kang. Obviously through the trailer, Kang's in the movie, and I feel like you get more of him and more of an idea of him and who he is and what he's capable of in this movie versus like if you watch the Loki series. I think it's definitely worth it to go out and watch. And I think it's more entertaining than like some of these other films that have come out. I don't know if it's if I like it more than Multiverse of Madness. Probably about the same. I'd probably say it's about the same Multiverse of Madness. If I had to watch one though, it'd still be Sam Raimi. I'm still gonna take the Sam Raimi film over this one. But check it out. It's not as bad as some of the critics have, come out and said. You're gonna get your money's worth. It was probably gonna go to Disney Plus in like 3 months. So if you can wait the 3 to 4 months, do what you want to do.
Yeah, we'll see. I haven't decided yet. There's a lot of stuff coming out in March I want to see. Like the kids really want to see Shazam, and of course John Wick comes out. So,
We're running into Scream. I want to see Scream in the first week of March.
Yeah. It looks like 2023 is going to be the year that cinema comes back with more releases. It looks like, so
Yeah.
So we'll see. Well, all right, man. Let's we're gonna do a This Week in Pop Culture History today, but we're gonna save it for after the featured film. So y'all stay tuned for that. Let's get into today's featured film, man. A movie from 1993 and starring Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes and Sandra Bullock, which is actually, for some reason, I thought this came out after Speed, but it actually came out before Speed. And that is Demolition Man. Pretty simple premise, honestly. There's a cop and a bad guy in 1996, and cryo-freezing technology is a thing already in 1996, where they can freeze a prisoner instead of using the prison system. So Sylvester Stallone's John Spartan catches Wesley Snipes' Simon Phoenix, they put him under ice, but not before Simon sort of like frames Spartan in a way, makes it look like he did something.
Well, so there is a bus full of hostages.
Yeah.
And John Spartan is, rushes in basically because he's got this, history with Phoenix, always been trying to catch him. Phoenix won't tell him where the passengers are. And he did a thermal scan before, so there's no warm bodies showing on the radar. After Phoenix is apprehended, while he's being apprehended, he blows up the entire building. And so the police chief gets there, Stallone, Spartan, the heck, man. And he's like, well, the hostages aren't in here. And then they find a bunch of bodies. So they accuse Spartan of negligent homicide of 30, the 30 bodies that they found.
And they freeze his
which
ass,
of course, too. Puts him on ice, literally.
Yeah. So then,
puts him on ice.
Flash forward 30 something odd years later, and they have a parole hearing for Simon Phoenix, and he escapes. And in this future society, there's no violence, there's no bad language, there's seashells wipe your ass, Taco Bell's gourmet restaurant, all this really weird stuff. There's no weapons, no guns. The police are more of a glorified crossing guard unit.
In
this perfect future. and Phoenix escapes, and they don't know what to do. So, we need somebody who can fight this guy. So they call conveniently Spartan as well and bring him out to go after him. After some funny quips as we watch Spartan trying to figure out this world, he's on the chase to try to catch Phoenix, and lots of violence ensues and lots of really weird future moments happen in this movie.
And you find out that Simon Phoenix was actually released by Dr. Cocteau to make sure that he takes out Edgar Friendly, the leader of the Scraps, who were driven underground because they weren't accepting of this society, living by Cocteau's plan, and then being controlled the way he controls them. No bodily fluid exchange.
Right.
No kissing.
Sex is virtual.
Baby making is, sex is virtual. No touching, no music, no rock, none of that. You can only listen to jingles Jolly Green Giant.
It's been some years since I've seen this. I have a couple comments on it. One is I'm amazed how much I actually did remember of it. I'm like, okay, I remember this.
Yeah.
Second, there's a lot going on in this movie. And Stallone has said before in interviews, he felt like it was ahead of its time. And perhaps. But I don't think it's that far ahead of its time. It's pretty easy to follow, but there is a lot happening in this movie. There's no real explanation as to how society got perfected like this. It's just sort of thrown around with some exposition. But then you really start thinking about how the hell they do this in 32 years. It almost seems impossible to have society go to this point. There's a lot of really stupid shit in this. I didn't realize that the three seashell joke was basically a running joke made up on a whim in the film. So there's really no point to it.
Stallone explained it one time. You're supposed to grab the poop with the two. Then whatever's left, you scrape with the last one.
Yeah. And then the whole commercial thing, singing commercials, is really just kind of corny and dumb. I do think Sandra Bullock delivering 1980s punchlines is pretty funny because she's so damn cute doing it that it's if you're okay with it.
Yeah. Her and Wesley Snipes outdo Stallone in this movie. Oh, for real.
Snipes hams it up big time. I mean,
he
didn't really want to do the movie that much. He was like, because he had played villains a few times, and he was like, I don't really. But the money was good. And Snipes admitted, hey, they're paying me. I'm going to do it. So it kind of shows on screen. I was like, I don't really want to be here, so I'm going to ham it up. And he does. He steals the screen. He's ultra violent in the movie. He's fucking killing everybody. It's like, shit, every time you turn around, like, he's killing someone. Like, Jesus. And they definitely, I think you're right, they definitely outshine. Stallone's pretty typical Stallone in this. Going through the motions. Yeah. He doesn't do anything special.
He said that he plays himself.
Yeah.
And he looks pretty relaxed.
Yeah.
So it looks that way.
And there's some decent action sequences. It definitely has that 90s action feel to it. That's for sure. But some good sequences. It feels like the whole museum sequence where Snipes or steals the guns. It's just sort of there to have an action sequence, because it ultimately leads to not much happens other than we get to find out that, Snipes is being controlled by the doctor.
Yeah. Isn't there someone you have to kill?
And then is a really weird second in command. I almost feel like I see Dennis Leary in this movie playing Mr. Friendly. I almost feel like Leary would have made a good bad guy too in this.
Yeah, he looks like it.
Yeah.
His makeup, his Mad Max makeup looking stuff kind of makes him look like he'd be a pretty good bad guy. I don't even know if he actually had lines in this movie. I think he just made it up because he goes off the rails on his rants so much. I feel like he just made it all up. But yeah, I feel like he could have done either one.
Yeah, maybe Leary did just ad lib everything. It's hard to say.
You never know.
And then I like
all the jokes. I like how, of course, this movie came out the same time as Last Action Hero. Hmm. And you've got Stallone in that movie. He's the Terminator. And so Arnold's like, this is his best role ever. And then Arnold became president in this movie.
Right.
And there's a Schwarzenegger presidential library. And he's like, stop, that guy was president. So it's. Knowing that they were like kind of feuding around this time, it's funny that was kind of worked in.
Right.
And then I love how Bullock gets all like the cliche, cliches wrong. You really licked his ass. He's like, kicked his ass.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's blow this guy. And he's like, away, blow this guy away.
Yeah. Like, that's pretty funny. And then, they have Benjamin Bratt in this movie as like this weird cop who like turns into like this Mad Max dude at the end and drops an F-bomb.
Yeah.
I think it's funny how you get fined for cussing and he goes there, he does like the seashells and he goes, says a bunch of curse words to the machine and gets paper. And he's like, so much for the seashells.
Yeah, I'm going to wipe my ass with these citations because I'm tough.
The movie is it's borderline just really, really corny at times. Because it's kind of just goofy and dumb, but yet it's serious enough because of all the violence and death that you can take it serious, I think. And it is well done by everyone in the movie. I mean, Stallone and Bullock and Snipes all do good jobs.
And the artwork, you got the same art director as Blade Runner. So you had someone that knew how to make a futuristic movie. You also had Sting doing the soundtrack.
Yeah, I saw that. So it comes together nice, and it was a relatively successful at the box office. I think for some years they talked about, making a sequel, and it just never happened.
I'm glad you said that because who had the same production budget and made about the same? Last Action Hero.
Really?
But we consider Last Action Hero a flop, maybe because Arnold, we had more expectations. We talked about that movie in an earlier episode. For those who are just now catching up, you had the Terminator, the writer of Die Hard, and Lethal Weapons director, which I wonder, there is some connections between that film and this film. You've got a Lethal Weapon poster on the wall, and then you've got the Stallone and Arnold jokes between the two. I wonder if, these directors were talking, but yeah, it's, I was watching Oliver Harper's commentary on it, and he had mentioned that, and I was like, really? Huh. Didn't know that. So I thought that was interesting. To me, it's probably a success because, you know, maybe, you know, critics were kind of skeptical about watching this film because they didn't allow critics to review this movie before the audiences saw it. So there's a lot of speculation, you know, by the Siskel and Eberts that this movie wasn't going to be that great, when really they're like, hey, this is actually a decent film, good humor, entertaining, and they loved it. Yeah. So, you know, he was fresh off of Cliffhanger. That's why Stallone got this offer. And then, of course, while he's making the film, right before it's released, he gets announced that he's going to do Judge Dredd. So he's just like, making nothing but net. Of course, Judge Dredd would be kind of, you know, cheesy. And Rob Schneider would star with him in that movie. Yeah, man, this is just like peak Stallone, I feel like, even though he was like in his 40s, which, man, dude, he had to have been taking all kinds of human growth hormone and steroids. He's freaking jacked. And I like how with the warden from Shawshank Redemption's like, he's a muscle-bound grotesque.
He kind of just hams it up in this movie, too. He's a little bit over the top. He does. You know, it feels like one of those movies that, because it had a high budget for special effects, they probably shot a lot of things in quick takes. Like, okay, we can't spend more money, on things. It's funny that Jack Black almost appeared in this movie. Lori Petty was originally cast in Sandra Bullock's role, and she actually filmed a few days for stepping aside because of creative differences. I mean, you're Lori Petty. Yeah. What creative differences do you have?
Exactly.
It's like
Tank Girl.
Yeah. A League of Their Own. It's like, what? Oh, you know, I thought that
I'm glad we got Sandra Bullock, because she would show that she could be really good in this film, and she would go on to make Speed and The Net after this.
Yeah. Stallone really wanted Jackie Chan for the bad guy, but Jackie Chan refused because of Asian culture. After playing heroes for so many years, he didn't believe that anyone would believe him playing the villain. So he declined the film.
I like how they still mention him in the film.
Yeah, they do mention him.
Where'd you learn to kick like that?
Apparently Stallone's quite a huge Jackie Chan fan. Stallone's also a bit claustrophobic. He said the cryo freezing scene terrified him. He didn't like filming it. It was one of his worst experiences on the set ever of any movie. He really hated doing all that. So a big old tough guy like Stallone doesn't like being under ice. Said it absolutely frightened him. Overall, I though think this is it's a fun movie. You know, I don't think it's something I'd revisit all the time.
Oh man, yeah, I watch this movie twice a year at least.
I can see why
I watch. Yeah,
you like it. It's right.
My dad showed it to me. Kind of. Yeah, corny, whenever I was little. Yeah. Well, yeah, I love those movies. But probably the biggest reason, this was one of the movies my dad had me watch. And I wasn't supposed to watch it. So he's like, don't tell your mom. We're going to watch it. And I remember Stallone swinging from the mechanical arm, kicking Wesley Snipes' head off. And of course, that's foreshadowing, because at the beginning of the movie, right before he flicks the match onto the ground and lights, all the gasoline barrels, he says, I'd lose my head if it wasn't attached to
me. Right. And that's one of the most violent scenes in the movie. The movie, as violent as it is, with Snipes killing everybody, it's not an overly gory movie or anything. It's mostly bad language and just a lot of gun shooting.
But yeah, there's crazy amount. I felt like, you know, this movie predicted so many things about the future. There's a guy with a man bun. There's video chat. There's remote work. They're having remote meetings. There's social distancing. There's no toilet paper. What happened during the pandemic?
Taco Bell is still not a gourmet restaurant.
Yeah. Taco, yeah, but you know what? It could be, damn it. One day, Taco Bell will win the franchise wars, and there'll be no Wendy's, no McDonald's, no Torchy's Tacos. Taco Bell will reign supreme.
Demolition Man, people.
Demolition Man,
I don't know,
baby,
what else to say about it.
All right. Man, it's great fun. Go ahead and watch it.
It's fun. I enjoyed watching. It took me a couple nights to watch it just because I had such a busy week. But it was fun revisiting it. Some decent stuff in it.
There we go, man.
And I'm always a sucker for, like, I'm a big sci-fi guy. I can always watch stuff that takes place in the future and sci-fi and stuff like that. You know, like, I think this movie works better because it's futuristic. If it was just modern times, they unfreeze them 20 years later and they're still fighting in regular buildings and regular society, it's probably not as exciting. So, you know.
Yeah. Oh, definitely not. And it was the, and I didn't get his name. The art director thought that it would be best if we start in their time and then go right. to
yeah, the Yeah, they came in and changed that. And that was a smart move, I think. It worked that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Demolition Man, people. Watch it.
Watch it, baby.
All right, let's do
and
it.
And be well. Oh,
be well.
And be well. Be well.
All right, we do this once a month, man, and we only got a couple weeks left in February. So let's talk this month in pop culture history.
Yes. And, you know, I had to learn some stuff myself because I thought the first superhero was released in 1937 with Last Action Comics, Superman, 1936. This month, the world's first superhero, the Phantom, cartoon strip by Lee Falk, makes its first appearance in comics. Did not know the Phantom was the world's first superhero.
And I think the Phantom's a cool hero. I actually kind of enjoy the Billy Zane movie for just nostalgic reasons and always mm-hmm. felt like they should do another
one. He's a good cast for that.
Yeah, I always felt they should do another one. There's been rumors that there was a script for a Legacy sequel where Billy Zane comes back and the Phantom, and he passes on the mantle of the Phantom to his own son. Maybe it would happen one day, man. It's a cool, I like those pulp heroes, man. Like, you know, we did the Rocketeer on the show and, you know, I would love to, you know, the Shadow with Alec Baldwin, not a great movie, but a cool hero, the Phantom, you know, a lot of those pulp heroes.
Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
We
did Dick Tracy. A lot of those pulp heroes are really cool. Speaking of Dick Tracy, did you see that thing where Warren Beatty appeared as Dick Tracy in a video and did like a retrospective chat with someone? And because it's at least 30 minutes, it's considered a short film. It allows him to keep the rights of Dick Tracy because Warren Beatty owns the rights. And Beatty's been talking about doing another Dick Tracy for years. Maybe he's gearing up to do it. You know,
man, that'd be awesome if he went ahead and did it.
Yeah. So interesting.
Got a few birthdays this month. I included this one because I know Frank is a big fan. Liberace, his birthday would have been this month. He passed away in 1987.
Who is this?
Liberace. Oh. Every time we bring it up, Frank gets upset. You know, because a great pianist passed away, but he was a big, big fan of Liberace. So, Frank, remember, this is Liberace's birthday month. John Williams.
Thanks for listening to the show. What the fuck?
Yeah, and he better. John Williams is 91 this month.
Still
the Big Show is 51. Yeah, man, the best maestro, man. Making the best themes ever.
You name it, man. Superman, Star Wars, Jaws, Indiana Jones,
Harry Potter,
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Harry Potter, E.T. Dude, the dude is just fucking Catch Me If You Can.
Nothing. Maybe
we did a couple weeks ago. We did the score for that.
Man, I forgot about that.
I mean, just the dude is there will never be another John Williams.
No, yeah, there wouldn't be. It's too big of shoes to fill, man. Yeah. No chance. Don't even try. This is the first time I'd seen this. 1944. Captain America serial film premieres, starring Dick Purcell, the first appearance of a Marvel superhero outside of comic. Mm-hmm. He fought the Scarab, and the Scarab was trying to get a device that would cause earthquakes and blow up buildings and stuff.
Dude, movie serials are fun. I don't know how much of them you've watched, but if you're ever bored, Matt, man, go through Amazon. Amazon has a bunch of them. Tubi has a bunch of them. They have got a lot of the Flash Gordon stuff, Batman, Captain America, a lot of those old movie serials, Zorro. They're a lot of fun to watch. They're 2 or 3 minute episodes most of the time. They're action packed. They give you a real appreciation for modern superhero movies and where we've come from because they were aired in front of movies. People forget back then when you went to the movies, these serials were aired in front of the film until a 2 or 3 minute short film. Then they showed you the movie if you were going to see, you know, Casablanca or whatever. The trailers were at the end of the movie. You had to stay for the trailers, what to come back to theater the next few weeks to see. That's why they're called trailers because they trailed the movie. You would get the short film, the cartoon, or the movie serial before the movie, and then get the trailers at the end. And that was a big
thing. Awesome.
They were people. My dad used to tell me stories. My grandpa, they would go back to the movies every week, not even so much to see the feature film, just to see the serial. And there were some
theaters. Yeah, to know what was coming out.
Yeah, there were some theaters that would show just the series. Like you could go and you didn't have to watch the movie. You could go and just watch. They would show the Batman serials. You could go sit and watch them. And you pay a quarter and get to watch the latest episode or whatever. So, yeah.
Pay a quarter.
Yep.
Man. We're big Western fans on this show. 1939, this month, Stagecoach. Western film directed by John Ford, who was a cowboy, starring Claire Trevor and John Wayne, the Duke, premieres in Miami.
Yeah, very classic film. Even though I think isn't Wayne's part in that pretty small because it's one of his first films, if I remember correctly.
It is small.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was cool because John Ford was a he was a cowboy, and it was cool. You know, he was one of the last cowboys to direct westerns.
Yeah, one of the greats.
We talked about Monster Universe earlier, 1931, the original Dracula, starring Bela Lugosi as the titular vampire, is released.
Yeah, man, classic film, man. As a horror fan, you need to get caught up on some of those, man. You really, I know you've seen a couple of them, but you need to watch more of them. It's hard to find. They're not always streaming anywhere, but every now and then they'll pop up on Amazon for streaming and things like that. But
I like the ones we did on here. I feel like you know, those are probably the better ones. Yeah. Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Dracula's pretty good.
Dracula. Wolfman. Yeah.
Wolfman's my favorite. But Dracula's pretty good too. It's such a different take on Dracula because like these modern Draculas, you know, have him, you know, killing people and, but it's a very different, it's more like the original book. It's more about his power that he has on people. And it is about him killing people. I mean, he kills in the movie, don't get me wrong, but it's just more of a not quite the action-packed, violent take you would expect from a Dracula film. It's more tension. Okay. It's more tension and buildup. You know,
more tension and buildup.
Yeah.
1968, children's educational TV program Mister Rogers' Neighborhood debuts on NET, which is now PBS. Watched this all the time as a kid, and man, that was just a great show to watch. Loved it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the. It's hard to argue one of the best men to ever walk the planet. I mean, he just truly was. It was people, you know, tried to play him that he was a phony. They tried to, and he just, he really was that way. You know, he was just this guy that was treated people extremely well, especially children. He just had a gift. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the Tom Hanks movie where he plays him. It's really good.
You know. I've been meaning to, and I may watch that this weekend. That sounds like something I'd want to watch.
Yeah. No, just a good man.
Yeah, very good man. You know, Adam Sandler was in Houston this weekend, and on this month in 1996, his film production company, Happy Madison Productions, was founded. So I thought I'd work that in there. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's... He peaked early, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's had some success the last couple of years with Uncut Gems and a couple of
he's still got
films.
Some magic.
But yeah, his best stuff was early on for sure.
It's like anytime if you're going to ask me what Adam Sandler movie I'm going to watch, it's going to be Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison.
Yeah.
Pretty much every time.
Airheads
between
cool.
those two.
I
do like Airheads. And, yeah.
Yeah, I never had a desire to watch Uncut Gems, even though I heard he's really good in it. When I heard it was about basically a dude on an anxiety trip, I was like, yeah, I just felt like I didn't want to watch it because I heard it can trigger your own anxiety. I was just
weird.
It felt like something like, yeah, I'm going to pass on this one. Yeah.
It looks like a film that would make you anxious because it looks like he gambles a lot and he's like, you know.
It's basically about a guy on an anxiety trip the entire movie. So I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it.
Now, of course, we talked Batman earlier. This month, 1944, Batman and Robin comic strip premieres in newspapers. So really good timing. We've got Keaton coming back on the same month. We're in 1944, the Caped Crusaders dawned and entered our lives.
Man, I cannot wait for June 23rd. I'm super excited to see The Flash and seeing Keaton come back. And man, you know, and hearing stuff like that makes me miss old newspaper strips. I was a newspaper strip guy, you know, as a kid. My dad would get the paper every day. That's how I learned about Spider-Man stuff. So I would read those newspaper strips in the daily paper on Sundays, and probably a little bit older than you, so I don't you remember them all, but yeah, that's what I remember.
I remember reading Garfield or Yeah. Dilbert. Yeah. And then last thing, 1990. I'm going to end with Batman too. The Batman theme by Danny Elfman wins Grammy Award for Best Instrumental Composition at the 32nd Annual Grammy Awards. Nice. So that just tells you, Batman, dude, that's Grammy. That's Grammy material.
Definitely an iconic theme. That's for sure, man. You know, that was cool in the trailer too, just to see the beats of the theme in there. I was like, oh yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie, man. I cheered whenever he said, I'm Batman. And you hear the theme. I was like, yes.
And he smirks.
It was awesome.
That classic Keaton smirk.
Yeah. And you know, but I do hope that the film gives Ezra and the Flash his full due too. I don't want Batman being in it. And I thought No Way Home did a good job of that. Yeah, McGuire and Garfield were in it, but they didn't steal the show from Holland. It was still his movie. And I think that the Flash deserves that. It still needs to be a Flash movie. And so we'll see when it comes out June 23rd, man. Can't wait. It's going to be so badass. That's definitely an opening weekend movie for sure.
Heck no doubt. Dude. That's, oh man, we may have to make a show centered around that movie. It could be one of those.
It's possible. It's possible. We're not going to give anything away, but it's possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
All right. Well, good job, Matt, bringing the pop culture history this month.
I try, and, man. I try.
So next week's show, man, we put out on our Facebook group about a month ago, I put out a request for movies that people would want us to cover. And we got a couple of good ones, and we are going to cover both of those. One's going to be next month. But this is the first of our requests, and this comes from a friend of the show, Matt. Not the Matt sitting across from me, but another Matt. And he requested that we cover this 1980s kind of cult classic gem called Robot Jocks.
It is 50 years since the nuclear holocaust almost destroyed mankind. War is now outlawed, and all territorial disputes between the two great alliances are settled by single combat. A battle rages between two gigantic fighting machines piloted by their nation's champions. The Robot Jocks.
There he is, Achilles, hero of the market, winner of 9 straight fights, trying to become the only man besides the legendary Tex Conway to win all 10 compulsory fights. Prepare to clear the gantry. Clear the gantry.
Genetically engineered to be the best fighters in history.
She's one of them.
We cannot allow the Confederation to occupy one square inch of American soil.
The Confederation is developing Gen Jocks too.
Doc Matsumoto here does the technical stuff.
I handle the tactics.
Name's Tex, little lady.
My name is Athena.
You're a Confederation agent.
Do not fight two bees.
Clobbering time!
You can watch this for free on Tubi or Pluto. It's been some years since I've seen this. I just remember the robots. I don't remember a lot about it. I know, Matt, you've never seen it. It's definitely a lot like Demolition Man. I think it's a movie that was ahead of its time when it came out with big, bold ideas. that maybe just didn't quite work at the time. So we'll watch Robot Jocks this week, and we'll discuss it on the show and see where it stands, you know, 30 years since it released, and see how it plays out. I'm kind of looking forward to watching this kind of goofball, cheesy 80s sci-fi film next week. So and talk.
It looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, it has a good look to it. So
just looking at, yeah. And then I've seen the director, Stuart Gordon's Reanimator, and I like that film. So I'm thinking I'll definitely like this one.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be something we'll find to enjoy in it next week on the show as we talk Robot Jocks. I feel like Robot I have to say Jocks. That very dramatic.
Yeah, like a sportscaster.
That's right. But until then, man, the RebelRadioPodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs, and all the apps that we're on are all linked on there. Finally fixed a link on there for Amazon Music. So if you, I don't know anybody really uses it. I guess people use Amazon Music on their Echoes at home. So I guess that's a way to listen to the show.
Okay.
But until then, man, watch out for aliens, of course.
Yes.
Good to you to stay safe.
Watch the skies.
And until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Remember, as always, just go there.
Just go there and do it.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse. Snooch to the nooch. Go there and do it.